You're turning to your in your Bibles to Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Now in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists, because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." Acts 6, verses 1 through 4.
Good evening. It's good to see you tonight. We're glad that you're here. I am just that happy. It's great to see you. Hope you are too. Hope you had a great day. I wasn't at the shower, but it sounds like it was successful. As showers go, sounds like a good time to me. Looked like a lot of happy ladies and a lot of laughter and fun times. And it's just fantastic. Acts chapter 6. Looks like you're ready to study for me to stop talking. Well, let's start preaching. Acts chapter 6. You have your Bibles. Let's get into it. We've been talking about evangelistic preaching is what we've been talking about. That began in Acts chapter 2 because ultimately what we want to be is evangelistic. And we want to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we said, I don't know how many weeks ago now, we're not against programs. In fact, they're probably a necessary evil. I don't mean evil badly. I just mean that's the expression, a necessary evil. They're probably necessary in some respect. And we probably need them to do some things and organize and so forth. However, programs are not designed and intended to take away from or replace evangelism. And we don't need necessarily programs to evangelize. We just need to be evangelistic. We just need to share the good news. We just need to try and, as we go, invite and teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I don't know, maybe I didn't say it. Let me say it now. Everybody doesn't have to do the same thing in this process, but everybody can do something in this process. And so there are people who say, "I'm not comfortable leading the study." Okay, don't lead the study. Watch the babies while somebody leads the study. "I'm not comfortable leading the study." Okay, don't lead the study. Get the person who's going to have the study and then be the silent partner. It doesn't really matter what you do in the process. "Well, I'm not capable. I'm not able." Well, open up your home. And we'll meet at your house. Then we'll have the study. Invite your friends, and then we'll have the study. It really doesn't matter what we do, as long as we get it done. Let us all figure out a way to share the good news of Jesus Christ. How do we do that? How did the early church do that? So we've talked about some things relative to that. We've seen in Acts chapter 2, evangelistic preaching is scriptural. As you read through the text of Acts chapter 2, it is passage after passage after passage. Those preachers use scripture in their preaching. They use David and John and Joel and all of the passages in the Old Testament. Then we looked at Acts chapter 3. Chapter 4, chapter 5, we've reached chapter 6. And every time we've noticed some section of scripture, the Bible says, and the church grew. Multitudes were added. So whatever they did resulted in multitudes being added. What did they do? Well, we reached Acts chapter 6. And the point of emphasis, at least in my estimation here, is that evangelistic preaching provides peace in the local congregation. And that is that the local church doesn't need any other organization to do its work, to solve its problems, to carry out God's will. There's nothing above the local congregation. The local congregation is fully equipped and able to do all that God demands and meet every conflict and difficulty that arises. And so there are 4 things we want to note this evening with regards to this congregation and learn from them and then ultimately do the same. Now we're going to stop at verse number 7, because verse number 8 really goes into chapter 7. From verse 8 onward really is connected to the events in Acts chapter 7, which is our next study. So We'll get to that. But we'll stop at 7 tonight, and we'll note 4 points then regarding what we learn about evangelistic preaching here. Number 1, sometimes, and some of these are more observational than points exactly, but sometimes growth can create problems. And that's one of the things that's unforeseen by people. Or it might actually be seen by people, and sometimes it convinces people not to grow. Because if we grow, we're going to have more problems. Well, it's certainly possible. Notice Acts chapter 6 and verse number 1. The Bible says, now at this time, while the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint arose on the part of the Hellenistic Jews against the native Hebrews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily, King James administration, the daily serving of the food. There is a need that exists because of the saints who came to Jerusalem, or the Jews who came to Jerusalem and stayed after they obeyed the gospel back in Acts chapter 2. Sometimes it's lost on God's people today that they didn't come to Jerusalem to obey the gospel. They came to Jerusalem to go to the feast day. While they were there, the Holy Spirit fell on the apostles, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance, and then a multitude gathered to them. That's how that happened. Well, many of those people that came for the feast day never left. And so once the church began to grow, and it did, look back in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 41, the Bible says they were praising God and having faith with all the people. That's verse 47. Verse 41, so then they received his word, were baptized about 3,000 souls. Well, look at chapter 4 and verse number 4. But many of those who had heard the message believed, and the number of men came to about 5,000. Chapter 5 and verse number 14. All the more believers in the Lord, multitudes of men and women were constantly added to their number. So when you get to chapter 6 and the Bible says the disciples were increasing, indeed there were 3,000, 5,000, multitudes. There are a slew of people now. How are they going to get fed? How are they going to be taken care of? Well, it wasn't going smoothly. Part of the challenge to evangelistic preaching is when you cast the net of God's word out into the world and you catch a lot of people, A, you catch a lot of different kinds of people, and then B, the simply increasing of people can create problems in the Lord's church. It did here. Number 2, there is this emphasis in verse number 2 about the apostles and their very specific and special work. Verse number 2 says, so the 12 summoned the congregation of the disciples and said, it is not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables. The apostles had a very specific mission. This is one of the reasons when you're reading through some of their letters, they'll say things like, we are ambassadors for Christ. And sometimes people take that and they just make it all of us. Well, no. No, ambassadors have the authority to bind policies from one country onto another. They represent the country in such a fashion that their word is authoritative. The apostles were ambassadors. They had the word of God in earthen vessels. Indeed, they were. We don't really have that authority in that position. That they had a very special and unique work is evidenced by this verse. It's also why you'll hear the Apostle Paul say, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach. And when people hear that today, sometimes denominationalists will say, see right there, Paul was telling you, this is 1 Corinthians 1, by the way, Paul was telling you he wasn't sent to baptize, he was sent to preach. And so there's no importance to baptism. That's not what Paul was saying. Paul was saying, in fact, the word apostle means sent or one sent. And so his point is, 1 Corinthians 1, I wasn't chosen to be an apostle in order to immerse people. Somebody else can immerse people. There's only 11, 12 other people who can do what I'm doing, and that's preach the gospel. only that group of apostles. And so verse number 2 says, the 12 summoned the congregation, and they said to them, it's not desirable for us to leave the word of God and serve tables. The idea of serving tables is certainly not what we do with regards to the Lord's Supper here. It is that they were bringing the monies, as we'll see momentarily, and laying it at the apostles' feet. And then the apostles were making distribution to everybody as they had need. And the apostles are simply saying to the congregation, we cannot sit here and do that. We have to give ourselves to the ministry of the word. We have to go and continue to preach the word of God. The apostles, the eyewitnesses that Jesus Christ sent, we must continue to do that. We cannot sit here simply and receive the monies. Brings us to point number 3. Did I say 4 points tonight? Brings us to point number 3. Evangelistic preaching empowers the church. The church is capable of solving church problems. The church is equipped to solve anything that arises by way of difficulty, hardship, or challenge within the church. You see that by what the apostles say next. Began reading at verse number 3. Because we can't leave the word of God and serve tables, verse number 3 says, therefore, brethren, select from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may put in charge of this task. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. The statement found approval with the whole congregation, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenes, Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch. And these they brought before the apostles, and after praying, they laid their hands on them. The church was able to solve the problem. There is a real problem. Verse number 1, the Hellenistic Jews, or those Jews who had been among the Gentiles, were being neglected in the distribution from the native Jews, the Hebrews, and maybe they felt like, we're more Jewish than you are. And since you've been among the Gentiles, you aren't worthy or as worthy, or we should give it to these people, more devout, more faithful, whatever they thought. And so the problem was real. The apostles say, and by way of delegation, here's what the congregation does. They pick 7 people. And these ideas, sometimes you read them, full of the Spirit. It almost puts you in mind back with Moses and Jethro, does it not? Jethro said, the things you're doing is not good. You're going to wear yourself out, and choose you out men, and they're going to be able to help. Set them over this and over this and over this. Certainly there is something to be said for delegation there. And certainly there is something to be said about everybody's ability to join in and do the work. And these men, these 7 men, you hear these expressions, full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. They brought them, and these men were, now I don't know, some people say, well, these were the first deacons. I don't know that I could prove that. I don't know any way I could prove that. They laid their hands on them, so these men probably have miraculous gifts and these abilities. They're full of wisdom and so forth. And it pleased everybody involved. And the point is, the church was able to solve her problem. And there is nothing that the church can't solve today by way of difficulty or challenge we have. If point number 4, the church has the mind of Christ. The Bible says in verse number 7, the word of God kept on spreading. And the number of disciples continued to increase greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were becoming obedient to the faith. Final point. The church then had the mind of Christ. As a result of that, they endeavored to make sure peace prevailed through unity. They kept on honoring one another. They preferred one another. They did all of the things that Jesus said in Matthew 5:3-12. They had the kind of spirit that Christ would have wanted his disciples to have. They were peacemakers. They did what Paul writes in Romans chapter 12 in preferring one another, honoring one another. They were kind to one another. Philippians chapter 2, they had the mind of Christ. Notice how they did it. Look back in Acts chapter 2, verse number 46 and verse number 47. The Bible says, day by day continuing with one mind in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord was adding to the number daily those that were being saved. Look at chapter 4 and verse number 32 beginning. Verse number 32 says, and the congregation of those who believed were of one heart and soul. And not one of them claimed that anything belonging to him was his own, but all things were common property to them. And with great power the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and abundant grace was upon them all. For there was not a needy person among them. For all who were owners of land or houses would sell them, bring the proceeds of the sales, and lay them at the apostles' feet. And they would be distributed to each as they had need. And so you get to Acts chapter 6, and this problem arises, but that spirit was already present. They were willing to serve each other. They were willing to honor each other. They were willing to put each other first. And when they did that, the Bible says, the word of God kept on spreading and the number of the disciples continued to increase. Every time we have looked at a section of scripture, no matter what precedes it, the end of it says, and the church grew and the disciples were added. Even in chapter 5, when Ananias and Sapphira died, the church grew. Here in chapter 6, the church has a problem. But the problem is handled in such a way by the wisdom of those leaders that all of the disciples got together, chose those men, all agreed, distribution was made, peace prevailed, and the church grew. Evangelistic preaching is preaching that provides peace in the local congregation because it empowers God's people to solve every problem that we encounter. How do we do it? We all allow the mind of Christ to lead us to serve one another. And when we do that, not only will we be blessed internally, but those without will want to be a part of such a community and family. Not a Christian tonight, become one. Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is. Confess and turn from sin, Luke 13:3. Repent, change your heart, change your mind. Confess the name of Jesus and be immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins. And God through Jesus will do just that. He will wash away every sin. If you are his child, I don't have to tell you how quickly 2020 is approaching. Let us begin to think more and more about being evangelistic. Let us begin to think more and more, not necessarily in terms of programs, although there may be some, but rather in terms of, as we read through the text, these individuals were striving to share the gospel, and it wasn't always good per se. It doesn't matter. Whatever they encountered, the church was able to overcome by serving one another, loving one another, preferring one another, and putting God's word first and foremost in their lives. And then every time we've read it, and the church grew, and the church grew, and the church grew. Let us be what they were to the glory of our Heavenly Father. Subject of the Lord's invitation, we invite you to come as we stand and as we sing.